Live from NPR News, I'm Nora Rahm. President Trump is denying a report that he paid just $750 in federal taxes in each of his first 2 years in office. NPR's Franco Ordonez reports Trump dismisses the New York Times report as fake news.
President Trump addressed the reports at a press briefing Sunday evening, calling the stories made up and emphasized the truth would eventually come out when his taxes were released after a long-awaited audit.
I paid a lot, and I paid a lot of state income taxes, too. The New York State charges a lot, and I paid a lot of money in state. It'll all be revealed. It's going to come out.
President Trump has long claimed he cannot release his taxes because they're under audit, but there is no prohibition stopping him from doing so. Citing tax return data spanning two decades, the New York Times reported that Trump paid no income taxes at all in 10 of the previous 15 years because he reported losing more money than he made. Franco Ordonez, NPR News.
Protesters gathered outside the Supreme Court today to oppose President Trump's attempt to fill the seat of the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg with conservative Judge Amy Coney Barrett. From member station WAMU, Daniela Cheslow has more.
Hundreds of people stood beneath a banner that read, "No confirmation before inauguration." 51-year-old Trish Anton wore a black robe and a white collar and said she and her 17-year-old daughter drove to D.C. from Champaign, Illinois. She says they felt a duty to protest the confirmation of Trump nominee Amy Coney Barrett.
We owed it to RBG. We owed it to all the black women. We owe it to the women who come before us to show up here and use our voices and our privilege.
Democratic New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand told the crowd she would fight to block Barrett's confirmation. A dozen anti-abortion rights activists shouted, "Confirm Amy Barrett," across the street from the protest. For NPR News, I'm Daniela Cheslow.
Barrett meets with lawmakers this week. Senate confirmation hearings start October 12th. A federal judge in Washington is temporarily blocking the Trump administration's ban of the popular video sharing app TikTok. NPR's Bobby Allen reports.
TikTok yet again will be saved, for now. A U.S. district judge has sided with TikTok that Trump's ban of the app constitutes a violation of free speech rights. A short-term victory for the Chinese-owned app came after an emergency hearing in which TikTok lawyers said shutting down the app would be like locking the doors to a public forum less than 40 days before a presidential election. TikTok's long-term prospects, though, remain murky. The app must find a U.S. buyer by November or will be closed in the U.S., and a deal to rescue the app, led by software company Oracle and Walmart, appears to be stalled. Bobby Allen, NPR News, San Francisco.
You're listening to NPR News. California's largest power company shut off service to tens of thousands of customers today as a precaution. Strong gusty winds are expected in the northern and central parts of the state through tomorrow. That could bring down Pacific Gas and Electric power lines. That, in turn, could spark more wildfires. A long-simmering territorial dispute between Armenia and Azerbaijan is boiling over. There are reports of military and civilian casualties. Both sides have declared martial law. NPR's Lucian Kim reports.
The former Soviet republics of Azerbaijan and Armenia blame each other for a flare-up in fighting in the Nagorno-Karabakh region. The mountainous territory is mostly ethnically Armenian and broke off from Azerbaijan as the Soviet Union fell apart 30 years ago. Despite an uneasy ceasefire, there have been repeated clashes. At least 16 people were killed in fighting in July. Russia is an ally of Armenia, but also a close partner of Azerbaijan, and called on both sides to cease fire and return to the negotiating table. Turkey, which shares ethnic kinship with Azerbaijan, is pledging to support the country with all its resources. Lucian Kim, NPR News, Moscow.
The United Nations mission in Yemen said today the warring parties in that country have agreed to an exchange of more than 1,000 prisoners. More than 100,000 people have died since the conflict began in 2014 between rebels allied with Iran and a coalition backed by Saudi Arabia. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News.